I'll call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees for November 16, 2016. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees is being audio recorded, and a written summary will be published after approval. The audio recording and any reference resolutions and documents are the official records, and the written summary is a secondary summation of this meeting. If a discrepancy exists between the audio recording and a written summary, the audio recording will have precedence. If all or any portion of the audio recording is inaudible or unavailable, the written summary of that portion or portions will be used in lieu of the audio recording. Copies of the audio recording and a written summary of the meeting are available on Genoa Township's website, genoatwp.com, or by contacting the fiscal office. With that, please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pat, if you'd please call the roll.
Sure, I sure will. Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Mr. Gebhardt is absent. He is stuck in traffic. He is en route. Okay. So as vice chairman, I will take temporary order of this meeting. First on the agenda is public comment. Do we have any public comment this evening? Yes, sir. Please come to the microphone. State your name and address, please.
Luke Schrader. It's 4690 North Shore Drive. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and I kind of wish that Carl was here as well so I could address all three of you.
Do you want to defer until he'll be on his way?
Yeah, I can wait.
We can come back.
You want to skip public comment and go to my report?
We can do that, too.
I mean,
That's a good idea.
Great. Thank you.
And I'll talk real slow. I'm just kidding.
Okay, the fiscal office. Fiscal report, please.
Okay, great. So first on the agenda is approval of the trustee meeting minutes, August 21st, special trustee meeting, September 1st, special trustee meeting, September 7th, regular trustee meeting, September 21st, regular trustee meeting, October 3rd, special trustee meeting, October 5th, regular trustee meeting, as presented to you prior to the meeting.
I move to approve the following trustee meeting minutes: August 21st, 2017, special trustee meeting; September 1, 2017, special trustee meeting; September 7, 2017, regular trustee meeting; September 21, 2017, regular trustee meeting; October 3rd, 2017, special trustee meeting; and October 5, 2017, regular trustee meeting.
There's a motion, and I will second the motion. Any discussion?
I just want to make sure that the comments that I had sent to Ms. Batten were in there, and I believe she sent us an email noting that.
Yeah, she noted, maybe I sent them back about 2 hours after that.
Thank you.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Motion passes to approve the minutes.
Next, the October financials. Account reconciled with a total balances of $18,485,184.40. And that's made up of the investment accounts of $11,342,113.08. And the primary account of $7,143,071.32. I'll have these for your signature in your office after the meeting.
Okay.
There's no anything outstanding on here. The outstanding payments page has changed a lot since we started the procedures that we all talked about and you guys agreed upon. So we're getting those over to unclaimed funds and so forth.
It's a lot smaller.
Yes, much smaller. So that's all I have.
Okay. We will skip the trustee comments until Carl sits down. Carl's just arrived. Let's move into human resources, and then we'll come back to public comment and trustee comments.
Good evening, everyone. This is just old business, so I'm hoping tonight that we can get the board to approve the revisions, changes that were made to the personnel policy manual that was actually the new one that was adopted on September 1st, 2017. I believe you all have had that to review, and I haven't heard any comments on any changes or anything, so tonight I'd just like to get approval for that, and after that I will I'll send out something to everyone so that they know what all the changes are.
Any changes, comments?
Do we need a motion first?
We can.
All righty.
Go ahead.
I move to accept and approve the revisions and changes recently made to the personnel policy manual.
Second. Made and seconded. Any discussion?
Just by way of background, as Linda said, we adopted this in September of 2017, earlier this year. After going through an extensive review, we've now come back then and made a few additional revisions, so that is we're actually approving it for the second time in the same year.
Okay.
No additional changes or revisions.
Connie?
I have nothing, thank you.
Same. All right. Any other comments, Linda?
Nope, that's all. And if it's okay with the board, I do have something else that I need to do. Would it be all right if I leave this evening?
Oh, yeah.
Early.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go ahead.
No, okay.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry. Jumping the
this.
Gun. Yep.
Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Good job on that.
Thank you.
Finally got her done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Now, why don't we back up? Linda, you got that done. Did we do financials?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Public comment. All right. Public comment. Any public comment? Name and address, please.
Luke Schrader, 4690 North Shore. I just scribbled a couple things down here because I have a tendency to ramble, so hopefully I can read my own writing here. But I realize that the job of a trustee is often a thankless job, and there are many duties, not least of which are overseeing the police, fire, maintenance, parks, and many other areas that keep the township running smoothly. It should be noted that not much is said in these meetings from the residents about these areas, and you all should take that as a compliment to a job well done, as evidenced especially by the most recent election. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
One of the minor roles of a trustee is being the final say in the zoning resolution, which lately seems to be the only thing us residents care about. That's a good problem to have. However, as a resident, the recent explosion of residential development in the area is cause for great concern to myself and others I've spoken with. The infrastructure was not designed for it, as Carl can maybe attest to his drive here tonight, and the schools cannot keep up with it. I challenge that you as trustees and representatives of the will of the people of the township exercise great care to uphold the current zoning resolution and to deviate only where the comprehensive plan allocates. Developers are using each approved rezoning request as an excuse to push for ever more aggressive development at the expense of us current residents who cherish the current area as a great place to live. One approval does not entitle to another approval, and it is not the charter of the township nor the job of a trustee to ensure developers maximize profits. That's all I really had to say, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder, for coming in today. Any other public comment? Yes, sir.
I want to address the aggregation. I don't know if you want to do it now or if you want
to. Yeah, why don't you come on up and put your comments on the record.
Sure.
Just name and address, please.
My name's Joe Sirio. I live at 6682 Via Florenza Drive. I worked 29 years at the PUCO in the utility industry for the Consumers Council, and I was actively involved in the development of the natural gas aggregation program. I have no problems with aggregation. I think people should have the opportunity to make the choice. My concern is that our contract for electric aggregation isn't up yet. You've got 6 months, and I don't know how much the city has done to look at the bid or to solicit other bids. But it seems to me that when we were doing natural gas aggregation, getting competitive bids provided us the best rate consistently. I would think the same would hold true with electric aggregation, and I would hope that before we renew a contract, we would make sure that we had solicited competitive bids, and we'd analyzed it to make sure that the offer that we're getting, that we're recommending to the customers, the residents of Galena, is one that's the best available rate out there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sirio.
Joe, what was your last name, please?
Sirio. S-E-R-I-O.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
David Leff, 7397 Merleton Court. First of all, congratulations, Connie and Carl, on the election. One of the last meetings, we heard discussion over the cost of the concrete in the ramps in Vinmar Farms. I really just wanted to take an opportunity to say thanks to Bob and his group for doing a great job and getting that taken care of. Everybody in the neighborhood was ecstatic that that got taken care of, solved a lot of problems. So I just wanted to get it on record that we thank you for doing a good job. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? All right, hearing none, we will move on then. Trustee comments?
None.
Okay, we're going to be out of here in no time. What was all the rush about, huh? Gee, I had plenty of time. 670 is, I don't know what's going on with it, but anyhow. All right, human resources, I think we've got that done. And maintenance, Bob.
The first item is old business. I need a then and now purchase order to pay the Shelley Company's bill for the OPWC. When Donna brought it to you, she had the estimated figures, and the county's portion ended up being about $4,000 more. So we need a then and now for 39-something to pay the bill, and that charge will get charged to the county, and we'll get reimbursed.
Okay. I will move to authorize the then and now purchase order to Shelley Company in the amount of $3,960.57 for the 2017 OPWC project. Is there a second?
Second.
Second and discussion. Bob, this is the Medallion West?
Medallion West.
West, okay. Excellent. All right. And we'll be reimbursed for that. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Bob. Next.
New business. I got the five proposed streets to resurface next year to send to the county for an estimate. They'll send back to us the estimate, and then we can decide if we're going to do all of them or not. They are Charmar, Parkmore, Sugar Maple, Indian Court, and Hawthorne Valley Drive. That's just letting the trustee know which ones we're going to submit to them. They are the five that rated the worst in the township.
Okay. So what will be done to these, Bob? I mean, are we talking total?
They're all mill and fill.
Mill and fill.
Yep.
You need action tonight on this?
No, okay. I just wanted to let you guys know what I submitted to the county for estimates.
All right. Frank?
What about Oxbow in light of the construction?
I've been in contact with the general manager on that project, and they are going to chip seal the area that's torn up for the winter, and then in the spring they're either going to financially contribute to the township or they'll redo what they tore up, one or the other. is what I'm hearing from them.
So you don't think it's necessary or appropriate to put Oxbow on this list?
No, because that's going to have to be a total replacement. You ain't going to be able to mill and fill that street. There's no base under Oxbow now.
So the county, would the county be involved in that project? I mean, that's township and
it's between the
city and possibly the state of Ohio.
It's between township and ODNR and maybe the wildlife.
Yeah, Division of Wildlife.
Yeah.
Because I understand in talking with them that they did put a contingency in there for road repair.
Well, I've been assured that they're going to do something
yes.
for us, either financially or do it themselves to repair it.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions on the roads? All right.
Sounds good, Bob. Next.
Next is the budget for proposed budget for 18. It's pretty easy to put the budget together because we have a certificate from the county of 1.7 that we take in, and with everything that we are doing, our budget is about 1.74 that we're going to spend, and the only reason I could get that number down to meet the certificate was I did not include health insurance for 18 because we're waiting to see how much money we're going to have in our carryover. But I added 3% for wages, and then basically everything else stayed the same or increased or decreased depending on where I needed the money, either to buy supplies or a contract something out. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than glad to try to answer them.
Go ahead.
Wages increased significantly, about $175,000. I do know that we've hired an assistant director, and we've also hired one person in the Parks Department. But I know that the total of those two do not equal $170,000. What else is driving that?
Mike's old position was hired. We hired that position in there, and that position is paying more than Mike was making.
That would be an incremental increase, though. That wouldn't be that material of a number.
Well, we didn't. Mike's salary didn't appear last year on our wages, so hiring it now, there's a wage appearing, so that's one of the differences.
He was not working most of 2017?
I don't think he worked at all. He was out on leave.
I'm sorry. The number that I quoted earlier was, I accidentally looked at the 2016
yeah,
expenditures.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
My apologies.
Okay. There's only about a 3% increase from 645 to 665.
Right.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
I was off by
okay.
one line. One column.
One column. Too many columns. Okay, so we went from 1.76 to 1.74.
Yeah, I decreased.
Okay.
Decreased it a little bit, almost a percentage and a half.
Yeah, 20,000.
And you are correct, Frank. The difference is the new position we hired for the deputy director.
Okay. Contracted services are up.
And that's only because I moved money from supplies to contracted service because I moved $30,000 this year because we contracted more stuff out instead of buying it. So I just moved that $30,000 from the operating down into contract.
And salt is up?
Salt is up from the bids.
Not due to volume, it's all
not
due pricing.
To volume. It's due all to pricing. Price that we got from the bids.
And then you reduced your improvements of sites from 100,000 last year to 75 this year, proposed for 18?
Yeah, that's because in the other funds we haven't looked at yet, the permissive tax, the license fee, there's more money in them funds that I can do the resurfacing with, so I decreased the improvement of sites on this one because I was already short to meet the certificate from the county.
When you refer to sites, are you referring to roads?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Question I had, too.
Okay, that's all I have from that particular, the road and bridge
yeah.
Appropriation.
Any questions?
Mine actually got answered when Bob talked about office supplies, now to contract services, so.
Okay, but it was a reduction in budget.
Like I say, the only thing that don't include right at the moment is hospitalization, and we don't know until we might be able to increase that when we get the final end of the year of what we have carryover balance.
Right, but you put a number in there.
I put the same number as last year.
Exactly.
This
you just
year.
Didn't necessarily make any changes to it. So that's fine, as long as there's something accounted for in there.
Yes.
Okay.
And based on what we came in for 2016, We should end up having a larger reduction in our expenditures because it's probably not going to come in at $330,000, which is what we have as a placeholder at the moment.
Correct.
So the 2017 actual to date expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
So we have $334,000 in that. Is that what we have actually spent? And that's what it would indicate.
Yes, we're over on medical and hospitalization this year.
Okay.
You guys approved some purchase orders last meeting for Donna to pay something.
Right. Okay.
You might have to amend that again before the end of the year.
Okay.
So we may go the other way.
It may go the other way. Yeah. I was hoping it wouldn't be that, but it could be. Okay.
As you can see right now, we're about $1.4 million spent for this year.
Right. We have any big expenditures coming up in the next several months?
I think we have a few smaller things, but I don't think we got any big price tags.
We don't have $300,000 worth
of
expenses.
I think we're gonna hold it under the certificate, so that'll help me with our carryover.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to 2011, which is motor vehicle license fee tax. Pardon?
Yeah, I just suggest getting the right screen up.
I raised it up from $25,000 to $35,000. Because of what we have in the pool balance, so I could use more of it for road resurfacing instead of taking it out of road maintenance budget. Same way with the license fee, 2021. I actually had to decrease this one from $125,000 to $100,000 because we have we don't have the balance in that fund to support the 125 either. So that's down 25,000. Permissive, I put 215,000, and last year we spent 140, or this year I should say 140,000. I raised that up to 215, but we're not buying the dump truck, which costs us 137,000 this year. So we got more money in that fund, so that's why that's up to 215 instead of the 140, and I put it all in contracted services to pay for the resurfacing.
Do you have a summary schedule that takes all of these various funds and combines it under into one schedule, one amount?
No, we don't. They're all separate funds, and they're all, I was told I got to keep them separate.
Well, I understand separate, but there could be a summary
no
schedule.
There's no paper in here that lists all of them. I can do that for you.
That would be helpful for me.
I'll get it made up, and I'll email to all of you tomorrow. I'll try to get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, sometime next week is fine. It doesn't need to be done tomorrow because we won't be looking at this until late December for our final discussion. Yeah. But that would be helpful if we could see that all in one, but still separated by fund, but all combined.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the only other one I have is cemeteries, and that one is basically identical to this year. We're doing real good in that fund. We're actually probably taking in a little bit more than we're spending out of that fund every year. Not by much, but some. But the numbers I got in there is good enough to do any improvements and anything else that comes up in the cemeteries.
Okay. Was there an accident at the cemetery Lewis Center in Old Three that went through the fence?
I noticed that's where we had a burial the day after we got the 3 inches of rain.
Okay.
And that was the only way we could even get in there. We had to actually tow a truck in there to dig the grave and then tow a truck back out of there to fill it. As soon as it dries up we can...
Tire tracks, it looks like a wreck.
We had to take the fence down and everything.
And the fence is down and everything.
Oh,
so
okay.
I thought there was an accident.
No.
All
right. And the last thing on the budget is the five-year projections. And the only ones I did extend out the wages with the placeholder of 1%. And the hospitalization, 15%. And if you look at the bottom numbers, we're only taking in 1.7 and 8 or 19. It's 1.8 something, and then it goes over 2 million in 5 years, just with a 1% placeholder.
1%. For wages.
Wages and 15 for hospital space.
We're taking in 1.7.
And we're taking in 1.7.
Currently.
Currently.
And the only increase we get in that is?
If there's more houses.
Yeah. All right.
And unfortunately, as you all can probably see, the roads... We're getting real close. Everything is about 15 to 20 years old, and they're all going south on us at the same time. There's no way to keep up at their current funding.
Bob, the
So you've gone through, I mean, obviously we have the five that we're going to recommend. So you and Charlie have gone through and have done a re-evaluation and evaluation of the various streets and roads.
Charlie rated them all using the system we've been using for about 5 years now that we got off the county, and he went around and rated them all for all the roads in the township. And like I say, I would say probably maybe a quarter to half of the roads are all in serious needs of road repairs because they were all built about the same time.
How's the machine? The
machine working great. Working great. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants it on their street. We got a demand for it. We got two more this week. Streets really? That they wanted done. We've been on Highland Lakes Avenue for about 3 weeks now. We're trying to do all the ones on that. We got almost 2/3 of them done, so we're about ready to get off that street. And like I said, we can use that until the temperature get down to 30 all the time, and then it's going to take too much propane. But until you get down in the 30s, it works fine at the temperature we've had.
Have you had a chance to go back and look at some of the first ones that we did? I mean, as far as them holding up?
They are holding up. That's what I want to see, how long they hold up for a year, 2 years. I don't know. It's just something we'll have to keep evaluating.
So is that something that's going to potentially extend the life of some of these streets?
It's going to extend them, but some of them,
at some point,
like I say, they're getting so far gone, you're not going to be able to heat weld them.
And our levy is up. Next year?
Next year.
2018?
Yep.
2019.
Yes. Yeah, but the game plan is to try to get it on the ballot in the fall of 18, so you have a case it fails, you have a chance in 19.
Okay. All right.
One of the Berkshire trustees may be contacting you, maybe they already have.
No.
May be interested in renting that when we're not using it, because I told him to contact you or Charlie.
Okay.
So if you get a call from Berkshire, that's what it's about.
All right. And that's all I got.
Very good. Thanks, Bob. Mm-hmm. Communications. Leslie? Social media policy.
You all should have received the updated social media policy. If you don't have a copy with you, I do have extras. If you all are okay with the way it looks now, I'd love to get that adopted.
Okay, there are two copies. There's a draft, one that has draft, and then there's a red line version. I understand that the county prosecutor did look at.
Yes, the prosecutor's office looked at it, made two changes to the social media policy, made a comment regarding the employee policy, but I've not changed that since that's out of my wheelhouse. My copy here that I brought for you is with the red lines incorporated.
Okay, so, all right, so this is the copy that has clean version with the county prosecutor's comments.
Who is going to be the determining person or people as far as prohibited content?
So there are page administrators who are in each department, police, fire, and then myself for administration, and we are the ones that are watching the page daily and would alert Paul to any questionable content that we want to discuss. Paul likes to call it social media police, is really addressed in the employee policy. That's why you don't see it repeat again here. That policy talks about Paul coming in and kind of keeping track of overall who's working on social media.
But if and I along those same line, so if someone other than an employee is posting stuff on the Facebook page that someone deems prohibited content, who makes that determination as far as staff?
So Paul would be brought into the conversation before any decision was made, but the staff in each of the departments, including myself in that, would be the ones paying close enough attention to catch it and bring it to his attention. Okay. And I'm sure you all would be notified as well if that were to have to happen.
Okay. The opening paragraph talks about content posted to the township media pages, and then it goes on to say that it's are not necessarily statements or views of Genoa Township. However, Genoa employees are going to be posting to this, are they not?
What capacity are you, as far as their job role, or are you talking about them as private citizens?
No, in their job role.
There are staff that post, we would post our content to our page, but we don't, I think that statement's more talking about comments, so a response to what we have said.
Well, wouldn't employees, Genoa employees, then also potentially be providing comments to comments?
I guess potentially.
I think that the first paragraph needs to exclude, or needs to exclusively pertain to, or this policy needs to pertain to, especially the first paragraph, non-Genoa employees. Because the way that it's written, it applies to everybody that does the post. And obviously, if it's a Genoa employee, it would be the view of Genoa.
Mm. I'm not sure about that.
Then why would we be posting?
Well, I mean, it depends on if they're posting, after work hours. Or are we saying that the employee, once they leave work, are they still an employee? Are they still, they would still fall under this policy, but it wouldn't necessarily mean, it's the same as, views expressed on this radio station or whatever do not necessarily represent the views of the station. I think it's that same issue. Now, if you're posting during work hours, then yes, that would be the views of the township. If it wasn't, then we would have to take some action on that.
And they're all labeled. Whenever we make a comment or say anything, it specifically labels us as Genoa Township. So there's no question that it's not some other random entity
and
replying.
From what I've seen, I think that those generally are more replies and clarifications as opposed to comments that might express an opinion.
Yes.
I know that you explained this before, and I didn't understand it before, so I'm going to ask you to explain it again. Why is the bullet in there regarding content supporting or opposing labor organizations?
So what I found was that Ohio Revised Code 9.03, a lot of what you see in our social media policy is reflective of that, and so that is really drawn from Ohio Revised Code.
So that's in the Ohio Revised Code?
Yes.
Now, couldn't there be, there's one of the prohibited content says matters unrelated to the business of Genoa Township. Let's just say if we talk about the American Red Cross blood drive, is that unrelated?
Well, if we're hosting a blood drive here in a township facility, and it's a guns versus hoses event, then I guess that would be relevant to township business.
Right. That would be an example, but let's not say that it's interdepartmental. Let's just say that it's an announcement. County Commissioners meeting, Tuesday. Would that be unrelated?
Well, I'd say matters since unrelated. We are located within Delaware County, that would be related.
What I'm trying to get at is, I think it's very, very difficult to define what unrelated is the reason I'm trying to give some examples here. It's a very, very broad, subjective category. I don't know how that can really be.
Well, I mean, you gave a couple examples. I would think of something that the U.S. should pull out of Iraq. I mean, that's unrelated to the township. Why would it be on the township Facebook page? President Trump needs to get a haircut. You could probably walk through a bunch of scenarios. It's almost like, when you see it.
You could
sit here all night and think of things that would fall under that and things that wouldn't fall under that. So.
Exactly. I feel like, this is not a policy anyone wants to use. I think it's going to be pretty obvious when it does need to be used. And I think allowing ourselves, language that lets us, make the decision, especially when we're noticing that the other users of the page are being, their experience is diminished as a result of whatever the item might be that falls under this list.
I think it's important to remember, too, that right now we really don't have anything. Right. This is better than what we have. It doesn't mean that as we work through this, 6 months, 3 months down the road, we can say, oh, wait, we should add, or this isn't working for us. We can amend this as needed as we find issues that arise or things that are just irrelevant.
Well said. I completely agree. This is very overdue.
What I would like to see for at least the next 6 months, maybe up to a year, would be those postings that have been deemed to be prohibited content and are withdrawn, kind of like a listing, mm-hmm. a date, whatever the, copy and paste, so that we can take that and use those specific examples and see if that meets our litmus test as to whether it's in bounds or out of bounds.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think it is going to be a work in process. I mean, as Trustee Goodman said, this is the first time we've had this. We're going to have to work through it. There's going to be scenarios that are going to be
might blindside us a little bit.
Yeah, and so I think as long as we've had this run through from a legal standpoint, our kind of prosecutors has blessed this at this point, then we can have to deal with things on an individual basis sometimes.
Yeah.
So. All right, any other questions? I will go ahead and make a motion that we accept the social... Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We can wait till we get...
Make a motion that we accept the social media... comment policy for Genoa Township as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion.
The very last bullet refers to content. This is a prohibited definition of prohibited content. Content which does not conform to Ohio Revised Code 9.03 requirements. If the 12 bullets in front of that do conform, and if we talk about, this says contents which does not conform, so that could be anything. Because I don't understand the last bullet.
That was, the whole sample was provided by the prosecutor's office. So it's something that the attorneys recommended we include, and this Mike, this bullet list is not verbatim 9.03.
And I would say that that's just a belt and suspenders approach. You know, you've got one and you've got the other as a safety measure. You've covered all your bases to the best that you can.
Then we should post, we should include within this policy so that people don't have to go look it up, Ohio Revised Code Section 9.03.
I'd be happy to do so.
If this is going to be on the web, can we just put a hot link on that and they can just click it and go to it?
I think that would be good in case that section changes in the future. Yep.
Now, one of my questions earlier to you is how are people going to know about this before they post?
Well,
is this going to pop up?
What is
front and center on the homepage? Not our homepage, but the social media page?
No, it would be posted in the About section, which is customary. And we took out the section that
prior to posting.
Right, prior to posting in that whole section. So we took care of it in that way, which I think was a good change.
Is there some phrase, notation, highlight, something that can direct people to go to the About tab there's at least a trail? Because 99 out of 100 people are not going to read the About before they do the post.
Could you put a message out there once this is approved? You know, Township has approved a new social media page. Please go to the About section to read more about that. It's there. You can almost pop that every week or so out there just to remind. It wouldn't take much, right?
I can definitely do it once it's adopted. I wouldn't want to do it too often because I think, you know, we're trying to keep our mood a little more, like, fun and community building than just rules and policies and things like that. So I wouldn't recommend doing that, but I could definitely do it at least once.
If you're a follower and or a friend of our Facebook page, if you post that once, you're going to get a notification that it was posted.
Yes.
So you have the ability to click on that notification and go, oh, okay, great. So it doesn't matter if it's 10 people or 10,000 people. They're going to see that there was something posted to our site.
It would also maybe be a good idea in our next newsletter, which I know is a ways out now because we just did one, but maybe in the next newsletter to say, hey, we've adopted a social media policy. Mm-hmm. You can find it and provide a link and directions.
Yeah, I can definitely do both of those things.
That hits just a few more people.
Yeah, I can do both those things, and I'll also post it to our actual website as well. Mm-hmm.
Not that I use Facebook. I don't know that much about it, really.
Yeah, okay.
Never.
All right, any other questions? All right, roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you.
All right, and then while I have you all here in front of me, what did you guys decide on the mission statement printout for the wall?
I didn't have a whole lot of comments, but I believe that if we're going to do this, we should go to a nicer version of it as opposed to the, I'll say, cheap old version.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think you and I had talked to also, I mean, is this truly a mission statement?
It's a good statement, but is that truly a mission statement? So I'm not saying that we need to necessarily tweak it at this point in time, but at some point we may want to. So I'm not sure I would put a lot of effort into doing a lot of things with it, but that would be my only comment. I have no problem with what it is right now. I'm just saying, is that really what our mission statement is at this point in time? I don't even know when that was developed, to tell you the truth.
I think, Joe, were you?
Predates all of us, I think.
Yeah, it's not exactly formatted as a mission statement normally would be, I agree.
So that's the only suggestion I would have, is if we're going to do something where we're spending monies to put this together, that we're going to be posting that somewhere as our mission for Genoa Township, is that really what it should say, not only in context, but in format?
Mm-hmm.
So Joe, you had a comment or something?
I was just going to say, to the best of my knowledge, this history dates back to one of the comprehensive plan steering committees from about 2007 or so, when I think, was it Otterbein or Ohio State came in and
Otterbein
facilitated community meetings. I think it was developed as part of that. So it's really always been more of a zoning, planning, comprehensive plan statement, not necessarily a statement that's meant to apply to the police, fire, maintenance.
To the entire county.
To that being, Mr. Gebhardt, I would agree that it's a little limited in scope. Regards to the mission.
Trustee D'Antonio, did you have any thoughts?
I agree with Carl. If it's got some DNA of a mission statement, it's got bits and pieces. It's really not the right traditional format.
Agreed.
I'm not opposed to having a mission statement. I don't know what it should be. I don't really even know how we would go about drafting one, I guess. This is the idea is to replace the broken mission statement that was on the back wall. Is that?
That was what I was told the task was. It was at a meeting I wasn't.
That's been to talk, and then we didn't know through the comp plan whether that was going to be rewritten, so we were afraid to print something out and put it up, and it still sounds like you're not happy with what that mission statement reads. So
let's make a contest out of it. Let's maybe throw it out there on the website, get people's input, get some ideas. Here, label it as a draft. This is, we can have this as a draft. See what the public thinks our mission statement should be.
Yeah, or at least some concepts as to what they think the mission of the township should be. I mean, a little more holistic maybe. Gives us something to work with, gives you something to work with. Maybe you could pull together a small committee of some sort at some point in time.
That's what we kind of did with the Bicentennial logo. Mm-hmm. We kind of threw it out there to get some ideas from people, the professional people, but then also the public.
Well, and to Mr. Schaefer's point, it was done in the mid-2000s, and it was done by two consultants from Otterbein. It was never called a mission statement. It was a visioning statement. And so the point of the two of them is somewhat different. So I don't think the intention was ever to make it the mission of the township, but more the vision.
That's a good point.
Okay, so I'm hearing hold off on this assignment until the mission statement's really been thought through a little more, and I will certainly put something out on social media asking for input about what people believe should be part of a mission statement. Okay. Sound good?
Good.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Paul?
Good evening. First up on the agenda is a am I going to ask the board for an amendment to a resolution that you passed in June, even though the topic says golf cart. It's not concerning golf carts. It's concerning Orchard Lakes. If you recall, Carrie Mano, who's with us this evening, approached the board over the past year or so discussing the need for having a parking resolution in their subdevelopment. So recently had discussions with Ms. Mano about this. The motion went to their HOA, and all in attendance voted for this policy to move ahead with it, and they also agreed to furnish the township with the needed signs at their entranceways. We also found out that only one sign on Mount Royal near Old 3C Highway and one at Mount Royal closer to the exit of Sherbrooke, driving west at between the two subdevelopments, are the only two signs needed. And but this evening, in order to move ahead with this, the original resolution only addressed certain specific roads that was going to be mentioned to us at a later date. Their board, the Orchard Lakes board, passed a resolution stating that they wanted all roads within their subdevelopment included in this resolution. So I'd like to ask the board, recommend you pass the amend amend the resolution from June this evening.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move to amend resolution 17-0615009, establishing a township parking resolution and parking enforcement for Orchard Lake subdivision to include all public roadways within the Orchard Lake subdivision. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion? Ms. Manos, you are here. Any comments? Come on up if you would. Name and address. If you don't have comments, that's fine too, but come on up. I want to give you opportunity.
Carrie Mano, 6637 Burbank Place. Thank you, trustees, for allowing me to speak. I just wanted to put out that we did, per the resolution, send a notice letter to all of our residents. That was dated October 18th, and I received mine on the 23rd, so I'm assuming that's when everyone received theirs. And we stated that if anyone had comments or concerns, to contact us via our HOA email address. To date, we have had no comments. And we actually had our public meeting on the 9th, so just a week ago today. And again, we had no comments there as well. So I'd like to take that as a positive.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? All right. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
No.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebler.
Yes. Motion carries.
Just as a next step sort of thing. Now that we have the areas spelled out within the resolution, we need to advertise the notice in the Delaware Gazette according to our Ohio revised code. And once that's complete, that period of time, then the police can actually start enforcing the resolution.
Okay.
So,
Paul, is the advertisement something that the township will then pay for, or is that part of the cost that okay.
The costs in the resolution were the sign and the post.
Signing post. Okay. Thank you.
Next up, we have with us this evening Mr. Belcastro and his legal counsel.
Are we accepting the resignation?
Let's go ahead and do that first. Carl, you were notified by Zoning Commission member William Jackson recently about his moving. He's stated he's moving out of the township.
Right.
So. His wishes are to resign from the Zoning Commission.
I'll go ahead and move to graciously accept the resignation of Zoning Commission member William Jackson, effective November 16, 2017. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion?
As a former member of the Zoning Commission, I would just like to say what a mentor that Mr. Jackson was to me and how he will be missed, both his experience and his leadership. He's been a member of the Zoning Commission for a long time, and he will definitely be missed.
I concur in my comments back to Bill. He's been through some tough times, and I think has handled himself well, and wish him well in his future endeavors. All right. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. So that means we will have a vacancy on the Zoning Commission.
Yes.
So we will need to post Joe the proper procedure, I guess.
Yes. I mean, with the end of the year coming up, we typically post those anyway. So I was going to wait till your December meeting. I guess we can discuss it now. Whether or not you wanted to fill the vacancy, go ahead and try to fill the vacancy now, or just wait until 2018 and carry forward with six members. We could also, if we carry forward with six members, look at promoting one of the alternates. Should either of them be interested to full member status to get the voting board back to five? There's no rule that says we have to have two alternates. We've historically carried two alternates, but we could get by with five members and one alternate if need be.
Mr. Jackson was also the chair, correct? So I'm assuming Mr. Antonetz will step up as vice chair to fulfill that role.
Correct.
Would we need to consider appointing a vice chair? Would the commission need to do that?
That'll be up to the commission. I think it's okay. The sort of same discussion. Do they want to appoint a, go through the reorg now, okay. Or would they just assume? They won't, typically don't reorg till April, so it's very possible they may elect to maybe shift some duties around to at least make sure those positions are filled. But I'll have those discussions with them.
Okay.
Any other feelings?
I think we should go ahead and cast the net for application, start the application process now.
Sure.
There's one that's going to be expiring March of 2016. I don't know who that is off the top of my head, plus Bill. So that means that there's two.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and advertise it. Probably might also ought to do the Board of Zoning Appeals. There's going to be one rotating off of that also.
Yeah, there actually might be two, because I think one of the alternate, actually two, I think the alternate positions on both boards.
Yeah.
Each board has an alternate position coming up and a regular position. So each board will have two. The Zoning Commission will have three.
So maybe let's have a December 31 date, submission date, so that we can evaluate.
Sure. I'll work with Leslie. I think she was sort of going to start spearheading the that project. Am I correct, Paul?
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll work with her and we'll get something out.
Good. All right. Okay. We roll call.
We did.
Right. Next up is the electric aggregation, and Mr. Okay. Bel Castro is here.
All right.
To report.
Bel Castro.
Hello, good evening. Scott Bel Castro with Troy Bell here to revisit the government aggregation program that we had spoke about, earlier?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Nonetheless, first, just a quick update or just quick comment for the resident that is here this evening and mentioned the process. Trey Bell, in its capacity, is working for Genoa, has gone out to bid, has gotten received multiple bids, and solicited offers out in the market. So, from that standpoint, having done this, I think we've addressed that piece of it in terms of getting different looks at different companies. So.
If I could, I think, and I guess to your point as far as clarifying it, and Mr. Sirio did bring up the same issue that several residents have raised.
Go ahead.
Regarding the going out for bid.
Sure.
And I responded to a couple of them. Several of them I received emails. I'm assuming everyone else did. That basically had those same questions. And it seemed like there was some confusion out there that we had not gone out to bid for a supplier. And so you're basically saying we did, and I think there were, five different companies that responded?
Sure, and we went, in at length speaking about these at one of the meetings, at every single meeting, public trustee meeting that we discussed. So. Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
I just wanted to clarify, not only for Mr. Sirio, but
yep.
For others. But
that's another.
Okay.
My concern isn't that they haven't gone out and gotten bids, but there's going to be other folks like Trey Bell that would want to serve this market that would go out and get bids. So have you determined that the rate that you're getting from them is the best that you can do? Because they have to make some money in the deal also. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be other marketers out there or brokers mm-hmm. that would want to have the same business. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying is I understand that any marketer out there is going to go out and solicit from the producers.
Mm-hmm.
But the marketers themselves haven't had the opportunity necessarily to bid against each other to get Genoa's business.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead if someone wants to take the floor.
Kim, why don't you come up? I don't want to get into a back-and-forth debate here. I think that's a valid question. It's a question that's been out there. So, Kim, please come on up and clarify the situation once and for all.
Kim Boyko with Carpenter, Lipson, Leland on behalf of Trey Bell. Actually, Mr. Sirio, Trey Bell is a governmental aggregator. They're not a marketer. So Trey Bell goes out and does take bids from the marketers. I don't know if the terminology was just off or incorrect, but we have solicited bids from the marketers. The marketers themselves solicit bids off of the wholesale market, and they roll that up into a retail price, and we do an RFP process, and it is competitively sourced and competitively bid. So I don't know if there was a terminology error, but I just wanted to clarify that we have gone out to bid to marketers who then also have bid from the generators.
Okay.
I do want to address, since the last meeting, Just as I kind of expected it would happen, and we did see a market go up considerably since the last time. You know, the first time we did this, there was a push to delay this issue, and that would have cost us, I believe it was 0.4 mil or something like that at the time. And, you know, this next time that we've gone out to bid here, we had solicited a bid. We did get information, and, you know, rates have gone up quite a bit today. In fact, I spent a great deal of time belaboring on this program and how to get it, and asking for every favor in the book that we can get to get this thing done. And you know, at the end of the day, it just did make it a bit of a stressful process. But I think we've got something here to present this evening. So on the last time that we spoke, we looked at a 36-month 5.349 rate, I believe it was.
Right.
And today's presentation, albeit not considerably better, it's somewhat slightly better at 5.299. And that is, if you would please mark that down as the what is being proposed to this evening for approval by the board. And, you know, everyone had to kick in to get that, and I'll just make a quick statement. Risk comes in many different ways. One of the risks that I mentioned to you guys as I left the building that evening was that markets could go up, and so they did, and that risk typically would fall with the client. You know, I tell you, the rates go up, they go up. So, but we did find a way to mitigate that risk at Capital's expense and at Trabell's expense to get this thing across the finish line, and at a rate that I hope you guys find agreeable. And so, again, we did end up at a 5.299 rate.
And what is the price to compare?
5.9 cents a kilowatt hour.
5.9?
Correct.
Is the price to compare. Okay. And the price to compare is what we're currently paying if you're not on the aggregation program through AEP.
Correct.
Okay. Or if you're not independently getting your own.
Right.
Sure. You know, the program through this year, the last time we talked about savings, we were at $200,000+. We're now over $330,000 in savings, and I think if we just use kind of an estimated savings, using an average savings for the remaining 7 months, by the end of this program for the first 24 months, it's roughly $472,251 that the community as a whole has saved. So, to that end, you know. The program has been successful, and I think we've talked about the program being structured as a savings program. I will also say that it's become pretty common to understand that maybe savings isn't always the goal. I think I've mentioned that we can't work magic. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now versus 2 years from now. You know, you ask people what the rates are doing in the market right now for gas, you know, people are saying it's going to be cold this winter, it's going to be warm in December, and they just redid. One of the suppliers has stated today that they reforecasted to be colder, which, if that's the case, that drives price back up. There was a legislation that's being proposed right now to restructure some of the back end type components, and you know, those are the things that we spent a lot of time discussing in our contract negotiation that Trabell went to great lengths to protect the citizens of Genoa from. And if those changes happen, it's for exactly that reason that we've made very specific changes to the agreement, and that's exactly, again, why myself and our counsel, Kim here, have worked to great lengths to create a situation where we can minimize that risk. So to that end, I just want to open it up for questions.
Hey, so we have a 30, we're looking at Capital Energy, 36 months, basically 5.299 or 0.05299, I guess. We still have everything else basically is the same. Everyone has the opt-out option.
Yes.
At any point
no
in time.
Cost. No cost opt-out option.
No yep. cost opt-out option. One of the other things that we've talked about, and Paul and I have talked about as well, is you know this opt-out, the ability to opt out really at any point in time, and but not knowing what you're opting out of and opting into, and so having the apples-to-apples comparison, which is available through the PUCO. Having that on our website or the link to our website, I think would be something we should have so that if at any point in time, if people wanted to go and check and see what the market's doing, if they wanted to look at their own bill, if they then go out and shop on their own, if they think they can get a better deal for 6 months, a year, whatever, they would have that option.
Sure.
And then also including underneath that link would be the phone number, which is what you have to do. You call either you or Capital Energy to request
opt-out. If we have the energy bulletin that we've created that has, you know, kind of the background information, it has all the contact numbers for who you call, if you know, general questions, likely for me, to sign up for the program, Capital, or in that case, volunteer, just, you know, it would summarize all those things. I think it's a good thing to have up on the website.
Okay. So those are two additional things that we would be adding, I think, this time around.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Other questions, comments?
I was actually going to suggest putting some of this on the web.
Oh,
so
sorry about that.
That's all right.
No, go ahead.
Saved my voice.
All right.
I cannot support this proposal, first and foremost, because we've got approximately 7.5 months yet to go. I think that the prices are going good to go down, as evidenced by the decline in the 12 to 24 to 36 month. So prices are not going to go up, they're going to go down. As evidenced by the proposals. Now, it is true Terbel did get 5 proposals, but those proposals were all contingent on the vendors agreeing to pay Terbel's fee. So if they didn't agree to pay Terbel's fee or wanted to pay a lesser fee to Terbel, then they were not included. So the fact that these are 5, and maybe IGS didn't make a proposal, maybe it's because that they disagreed they would not pay the fee. We really don't know. So it is true that they did get bids, but they were, I'll use the word, selective or restrictive bids. They weren't true open market bids. If the board does this for another 36 months, they are automatically extending Terbel's current contract, which expires in June of 2018. They are automatically extending that contract, no bid, by another 36 months. And Terbel did not go under a bidding process for its current contract. So I think in the best interest of the taxpayers of Genoa, we continue to run the current program, and we look at Terbel and Terbel's competitors for a June of 2018 extension and or new contract.
I did have a question on the amended energy consulting and management agreement that you sent us. And in the preamble, it talks about extending the electric and natural gas service, both. The question I had was, this is a 3-year contract for electric, but the way I read this, it would also extend gas.
Could you explain to me which? It's
whereas the client desires Trabell to perform an independent analysis and review of the client's electric and natural gas service usage and costs. And throughout here, I noticed that I didn't circle every one of them.
Is this in the amendment piece?
The amended version.
Yeah, that going to since we're managing both programs, that's why, albeit just today we're talking about electric, for that, you know, separate those two ideas. The electric agreement between Capital and the township is one issue, and okay. Then we've been managing also the natural gas side of it as well, and that's been taken care of. That's why our agreement would always reference both pieces, that's all.
But the question that I was getting to is, does it then extend the gas to 3 years? Because we signed a 1 year.
No.
And that was my concern.
No, it's a separate agreement.
Okay, and I see your counsel shaking her head.
Yeah, it's by law, it's only allowed to be 2 years anyhow, so that natural gas agreement. And in fact, I think specifically to Genoa, I believe that's a 12-month program, so it is.
I was just confused by that.
You're asking if it extends the management agreement with consulting with Trabell, and the answer is no. That is tied to the aggregation programs. They're extended through the length of the aggregation program. So the natural gas one would be whatever that aggregation program would be, and that would just be the year of the aggregation program. The reason for the amendment is because of the changes in fee structure and pricing, we needed to amend the agreement to be consistent with the new fee structures and how we're moving forward with pricing and formulas and methodologies under the fee structure.
Okay. I just didn't want us to be caught in something for gas that we were thinking was electric.
No.
Okay.
It's
Thank
tied
you.
To the aggregation programs.
Okay.
You're referring to an amendment contract, Connie? I don't have
this. Was sent to us via email, an amended energy consulting and management agreement. We got it a couple days ago. Maybe this morning.
Is that the one that's in our packet?
Yeah.
But this is not an amendment.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
This is labeled confidential. This is for Capital Energy. I'm confused. What
it may be in
there.
There was an amended energy consulting agreement.
Right. Are those all together, stapled together, or are they one? Are they separated?
In our folder.
And I printed it.
We just got today.
Well, we also got it.
Did we have an advance copy? It wasn't in Paul's packet that he delivered. That
I didn't have anything last week for the pre-meeting packets.
Right. So we didn't get it.
I emailed everything I had.
Yeah, it came in a separate email yesterday, today. I would have to look up and figure out when.
Is Trabell looking for the board to agree to this also tonight, the amended energy consulting and management agreement?
It goes in conjunction with this agreement, this new agreement. Yes.
How does it go in conjunction with?
Well, for the same arguments you've had about we're renewing and extending, so we're amending.
Well, your current contract automatically goes to the life of an aggregation program. So there's no reason to have another contract. I mean, it says, page 1, item 2, this agreement of the existing contract, this agreement shall be effective beginning on the date of the last party that fixes its signature and shall continue for 3 years or until the end of an aggregation program with a selected supplier. I don't know why there is an amendment.
That's what I just explained to Trustee Goodman, is that because we changed the fee structure, the pricing, the methodologies, and the formula, we needed to amend the management and consulting agreement in order to be consistent with the new negotiated pricing structure.
So what is the new pricing?
The new pricing in the management and consulting agreement is that the administrative fees will be paid by the supplier just as they are today.
What is that fee?
That fee is a confidential fee, which is why the attachment A is marked confidential to the new agreement. The fee structure and the derivative and the pricing are proprietary tools that the commission no longer requires being disclosed on customer contracts or in opt-out letters, and those are all deemed to be trade secret, competitively sensitive under the revised code.
So you're asking us to approve Trabell's fee without knowing what the taxpayers are going to pay?
No. Absolutely. You know the fee. That is not what we're saying.
Who do you think is paying Trabell's fee?
The taxpayer, Frank, I know this is semantics. The taxpayer, Genoa Township, is not paying anything. And you don't know what the taxpayers are paying. All we know is that we have a better electric rate for the taxpayers than what they are currently getting through AEP.
And that fee is being passed to the electric users, that is being collected from the electric users, that is then being given to Trabell.
And the taxpayer is getting a better rate than what they are getting currently from AEP and currently from our own program.
And what you could through the apples to apples.
And what
we
they
brought
could
the apples to apples chart.
Going online themselves.
It's not necessarily true, Trustee D'Antonio, that the marketers will lower their rate if there isn't an aggregator or a broker. It's an industry standard to have aggregators and brokers. And if you do not have an aggregator or broker, you can see the apples to apples chart, the fees are much higher. The pricing of the electricity is still much higher. So there are many buckets that the suppliers take from. They have marketing buckets. They have aggregator broker buckets. So it's not necessarily true that without an aggregator or broker that your fee decreases. But you, sir, absolutely know it's in that agreement right in front of you what the Trabell's fee is. What you cannot do is announce that or disclose it publicly. We can put the contract on the website with the fee and the fee structure redacted, as we believe in many townships have believed through public records requests that these fees are not disclosable because they are competitively sensitive and they are being used by competitors to create tools. And frankly, they are stealing proprietary information in order to try to compete with marketers, brokers, aggregators. So you, sir, do know the fee.
We have Mr. Mark Fowler here with the County Prosecutor's Office. If you could, can you speak to this, Mark, as it has been handled in other townships? And
sure. Yeah, I know that I have spoke to Ms. Boyko about this, and she is correct. The PUCO no longer requires that it be disclosed, and they've deemed it a trade secret, and they do have protections under the revised code for trade secrets, and so nothing she said is incorrect. So if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. But
just receiving this tonight, can somebody tell me what page this fee is on?
Sure, absolutely. It's on exactly where the old contract would have been. It's on attachment A. And as you will see, the fee structure has changed, and Trabell has significantly reduce their fees.
I do want to comment that the confidential stamping of this document should have been for attachment A. The intent was for attachment A and not the whole document, okay?
Just portions of attachment A. And we will provide, and well, I know you asked this, we'll provide a redacted version that you can post on the website. We'll email it to you. I forgot that you post these on the website. But we will give a redacted version, and the only part that is redacted are certain provisions in the bottom of attachment A that discuss the fee structure for the aggregator. And I'm happy to also address the 7.5 months issue. There's a lot going on in the energy industry, so after we get done with this issue, if you'd like me to talk about that, I'd be happy to address that.
Any other questions, clarifications on that before Ms. Boyko talks about the future of electric pricing, which is anyone's guess?
I will
Everything else in the agreement remains the same.
Correct, in the energy agreement.
Which is under the the agreement we're currently operating or have been for the past 2 years.
Yep. So, again, going back to the whole bidding now, you know, as I expected, you know, rates are going up. They went up, blipped up a lot this week. I had an article today, again, that would indicate that if next month things go the way they hope, you know, rates could indeed get affected again. This winter, if it does indeed get cold, as we've said, it could affect rates, and it would make it even more difficult to get a program that's advantageous to the Genoa Township residents, for which, you know, I use the program. I am a resident, and I want my rate as much as any as the next guy to be as low as possible. So rates are going up. The 12 and 24 month going down, as Mr. D'Antonio has pointed out, is more of a market function components, pardon me, in the actual how they create the electric price. But the market itself is the actual market, which is separate from this capacity component, is going up right now.
Can you talk a little bit about there was some information going around relative to other jurisdictions, townships, questions were being asked about various programs such as Orange, Liberty, Concord, Radnor, City of Sunbury. What's going on in that relative to what has been presented to us? Can you give us any comparisons?
Yeah, every one of our communities is run very similar, there's been a. But I do want to just point out that every community has its own load factors we've talked about before. And Genoa's was not a particularly pretty one this time. And when I say that, the load factor is a number that the suppliers use to calculate pricing. Genoa's was higher, so the price is slightly higher than maybe some of the surrounding communities, but still very competitive relative to the overall market. So I don't have any problem standing here talking about it today and presenting that.
And you are currently serving the other communities in this area, I believe?
Yes, we are.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments?
The amended energy consulting and management agreement states that Trebell's principal address is on Treeline Court in Westerville, and that communications should also be sent there. My understanding, based on the gas contract that we did, that your corporate office moved to Marion or Mount Vernon or someplace?
Yeah, we can address that. We'll
jump. Apologies, I did not. I updated this document, and I completely slipped my mind with it.
So the principal address is no longer in Treeline Court?
No. We'll change it, though. It's a simple fix.
All right. Connie, any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, at this time, I will make a motion that we enter into a agreement with Capital Energy, 3-year agreement, price of 0.05299 for 36 months, with all other options under current programs in existence, which means there is no opt-out fee at any time, and that the residents can opt out when they choose to. I will also include in this motion that we will be posting on the township website the link to the apples-to-apples comparison as provided by PUCO. I'm sorry? It's been done. And we will also include the phone numbers for both Trebell and Capital Energy in the event that a resident wishes to either have questions or to have the opportunity to opt out of this program at any point in time. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
No.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay. The amendment.
Well, I'm sorry?
Okay. I just wanted to ask, is there a second
motion for the amendment separate. I believe that would be right. Is that correct?
Yeah. I would recommend you do a second motion if you're going to approve the amendment.
Okay.
Subject to the address. Correct.
We can handwrite that.
Yeah, we'll handwrite it.
Right. Okay, I will go ahead and make a motion that we accept the agreement to provide competitive retail electric service to a government aggregation program by and between Genoa Township, Delaware County, Ohio, and Capital Energy, LLC, doing business as Capital Energy.
Hold on.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the contract you just approved?
I think you need this one.
Okay, the amended.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will go ahead and let's start over again. I will make a motion that we accept the amended energy consulting and management agreement entered into between Genoa Township and Trey Bell with the one correction of the most recent address for the principal place of business for Trey Bell to be included in this agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
Second discussion.
There also needs to be a correction to the address of communications. So there's actually two corrections in there.
Okay. We'll make both of those. Any other comments? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
No.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. All right, Paul, we're going to work with them on getting everything fixed. You've got everything posted on the website, and we'll begin that process. All right. Any other business come before the board? Do we have anything else, Paul?
No.
All right. Let's see what we have here. Are we going? Are we needing an executive session tonight?
Yes, you are. Okay. For a reason on your agenda.
Okay. At this time, I'll cover announcements. November 23rd and 24th, the offices will be closed for Thanksgiving. November 28th, BZA will meet. November 29th, trustee zoning hearing. November 30th, we have a trustee zoning hearing. And those both are here at the office beginning at 7 p.m. December 4th, zoning commission meets.
6:30.
I'm sorry?
Aren't they 6:30?
6:30, okay. December 6th, Parks Advisory Committee, and next trustee meeting will be December 7th, 2017, 6:30 p.m. At this time, I will make a motion to adjourn into executive session at 8:03 p.m. to conference with an attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are subject to of pending or imminent court action. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion?
I'd like to also amend that motion to go into executive session to consider the purchase of property for public purposes.
Okay. I will second that motion. Any discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. We now stand adjourned in executive session at 8:04 p.m. This time I will make a motion to come out of executive session. The time is 8:40 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes. Motion carries. We now stand back in regular session at 8:40 p.m. Is there any business to come before the board? I do have some business. At this time, I will make a motion to accept settlement agreement and release of all claims between the parties, Cardinal Storage, Axtana LLC, and the Board of Township Trustees for Genoa Township. I will also sign on behalf of the trustees that settlement agreement. I will also move to accept or authorize Reminger to file the joint stipulation of dismissal with prejudice for civil action number 216-CV-01058. And I will also authorize the county prosecutor to sign the consent decree in Delaware Court of Common Pleas for case number 16-CVF-100650. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Trustee Gebhardt, I'm sorry.
Could yes.
you amend your motion to also include authority to the prosecutor's office to dismiss the Fifth District Court of Appeals
appeal. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
I will also amend my motion to authorize the county prosecutor's office to dismiss the federal...
The state court appeal in the 5th District Court of Appeals.
State of a court. Yeah, what you said.
What he said.
Yeah. Very good. All right, any other discussion? Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
No.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes, motion carries. Any other business coming before the board? Seeing none, I will make a motion to adjourn at 8:42 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes, motion carries. We stand adjourned at 8:42 p.m.